Here is this previous Sunday's ongoing episode of Power. We're taking a look at healing again. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Focus again, power, and we're going to be talking about healing. This is Jonathan Butler, letting us know he, the Lord on high, is God. Yes, indeed, God. He is God. I tell you, we're going to hear some more of that throughout as we talk about healing today. And as we go, I'm going to be sharing various principles that have to do with whatever passage we look at any given time. I'll read a passage of scripture that has to do with healing. And although there may be 1,001 principles that you can get out of it, there will be one principle that I plan to focus on. I don't want us to, you know, get lost with 35 different principles from one passage. This time I'd like for us to just focus on one principle per passage, so that we can really lock that in and get a sense of how God works, how he thinks, how he does things, so that we have a better understanding of who he is, so that we have a greater appreciation for who he is, so that we have a greater willingness to cooperate with him, to think the way he thinks, to accept his way of doing things. That is so important. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the biggest mistakes that humans make, whether the humans are people who do not profess to be followers of Christ, or whether the humans are people who do profess to be followers of Christ. Too often, humans make the mistake of thinking that we call the shots. And we even have ourselves convinced that because of who we are, God follows our lead. No, that's very rarely the case. Very, 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 very rarely the case. There may be an instance here or an instance there, like Joshua asking God to give him more time to finish the battle that he was waging against the military army that they were fighting against, he and his military were fighting against, and God gave him more time, caused the sun to turn back. Very, very rarely. Because even with Joshua and his relationship with God, God was directing Joshua, and Joshua was following God's lead and not the other way around. But very often we think that we can actually be in control. Not so. There are principles that are in God's word that we need to recognize and honor, but also understand, again, because God helps us understand who he is by giving us the ability to understand what he has revealed about himself, not only in nature, but also in his written word. And so, since we build our relationships through words, through communication with each other, let's honor God enough to pick up on what he has put in his word, the principles he has put there so that we understand how he works, so that even when we discover a principle that goes against the way we want things to work, let's be ready to humble ourselves and say, okay, you are God, so it's the way you say it is. Even when I would have preferred something different, it is the way you say it is, because you are God and I am not. You are the Father and I am the child. You call the shots, so I'm following your lead. All right, so let's start in John chapter 4. And I want us to start with verse 43. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 43. And again, as most of you know, I'll be reading from the New International Version. As I've shared before, don't allow yourselves to get hung up over which translation is being used. You know, there are a lot of wise students of the Bible who make it a habit of reading various translations of the Bible, because we've discovered that it helps us get a better understanding of what God is conveying to us. Some people get upset if you don't use just one specific translation, and it has to be their translation of choice. Ladies and gentlemen, let's grow beyond that. Let's just accept that people read the translations that people want to read. So when you hear me share with you that I'm reading from the New International Version, it is not because I want that to become your favorite translation. I read various translations all the time. But for the sake of time, I only read the NIV. Well, primarily I read from the NIV on the program. So that, number one, because I know that it has a reputation for being very, very accurate in its translation, but also it's easier for most people to follow than, say, the King James Version. So, again, just so that, you know, those of you who are joining me for the first time, you're hearing me cover spiritual perspectives for the first time, you hear me say, hey, I'm going to be reading from such and such a book, such and such a chapter, and it doesn't sound like what some of you may be accustomed to hearing or what you normally use when you're reading at home, you know why. Okay, so no big deal. All right, so NIV, St. John chapter 4, again, beginning at verse 43. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they had also been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. Now notice, the royal official urged the Lord Jesus to come down before my child dies. Jesus didn't go down. He simply said, you may go. You may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. Now, as I said, there are quite a few principles that we can take from this passage. But there's one particular principle that I'd like for you to focus on for now. Notice that this man came from home, and it was quite a journey. Because notice, he was on his way back home when he was met by his servants who told him, "Your son is living." They were letting him know his son was fine. And when he asked them when he had gotten better, they told him the fever left him yesterday. So this trip took some time to cover. It was the other day. It was the day before these servants met the official that the child was healed. So here's the point I want you to get. Jesus, geographically speaking, was quite some distance away from this child who was dying. He was quite some distance away. And this is what I want you to focus on. That distance meant nothing to Jesus. He did not have to be there to lay his hand on that official's son so that that child could recover and be well again. That's why I pointed out to you that the official said, "Sir, come down." But Jesus did not go down. Now, there are other times when someone asked him to come and he went. This time he did not go. He simply said to the man, "You may go. Your son will live." There was so much power and there was so much authority in Jesus' word that was all that was needed. The power in his word traveled the distance and took care of that man's son. Jesus did not need to travel. He did not need to go there. And this is part of the reason that I'm sharing that with you. Jesus has all power and all authority in heaven and on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, all power and all authority. He exercised power and authority over death and over the very illness that was trying to take that boy out. Just by his word, Jesus was absolutely convinced that it was as he said. He said, "Your son will live." And as far as Jesus was concerned, that's the way it was. That man's son would live. The fact that Jesus is in heaven and most of us never see him. Once in a while, you'll have a person on earth who will say that they had an encounter, an experience where Jesus appeared to them and maybe talked with them. Some people are dishonest when they say that, but some people are telling the truth. It's not always easy to know when, you know, who's being dishonest and who's telling the truth. But I can tell you, there are some people who say that and they're lying. But there are some people who express having had an experience with Jesus, and some of those people are telling the truth. Just like when he arose from the dead and appeared to the two men who were on their way back to Emmaus. And he appeared to others after he had arisen from the dead. There's nothing that says he can no longer appear to anyone else simply because he went to heaven. He has all power and all authority. He can come and go from heaven and earth whenever he gets ready. He created the heaven, created the heavens. He created the earth. He created the angels. He created us. He can come to the earth whenever he wants to. It's his earth. And he has absolutely all authority over every creature, fallen creatures, human and demonic, holy creatures, angelic and human, all the animals. He has all power, all authority. And just like he was in one city centuries ago and spoke to this man and told him, your son will live. And the power and authority with which he spoke got it done. He can speak from heaven. He doesn't have to come to the earth and lay his hands on us now in order to get us well. He can simply sit on his throne in heaven and speak the word and say to you, you will live. He can simply say to you, you will be revived physically. He can say to you, your heart will be made new. And if we believe, it will happen. Remember, this man heard the Lord Jesus say, your son will live, and he took Jesus at his word. He no longer said, come down. He took Jesus at his word, and he turned around, walked off, and started heading back home. I want you to know that even when the Lord Jesus is going to work through his servant, young, old, male, female, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, doesn't matter. When he is going to work through us, the Spirit of Christ living inside of us, doing the work of God, even to bring about healing. It is good when we are right there with the person we're ministering to or we're ministering in behalf of, and we can hold their hand or place our hand on their head or place our hand on their shoulder. That's good. But it is not always necessary. Sometimes we may get a phone call from someone who will say, hey, you know what? So-and-so is a friend of mine. So-and-so has a child and they really need prayer. And we can be with that person by way of phone, with the one who placed the call to us, not even the parent of the child who's sick. It could be our family member calling in behalf of their friend whose child is sick. And we can pray with our loved one for that child. Just pray on the phone, believing that God will perform what we're asking him to do. And that child can be healed, even if that child is in another region of the country. Because for God's power and authority to work, distance is no issue. Back in just a few.